Wisconsin Conversation, real information. Live from Lake Wissota, this is Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
I am guessing this is the Twin Cities based on the poster who put up on social media. Two photos, and her caption is, "Just missed getting hit by a falling S from the Menards sign." And if you've ever looked over any Menards, you know, it's got Menards spelled out in great big letters. And the photo shows the S at the end of Menards had fallen from the front of the building onto the sidewalk below. And she says she just missed getting hit. And one of the responses reminds her that when a letter from a Menards sign falls on you, mail in your medical bills for an 11% rebate. All in Menards cash, of course. This is Up North News. I am trying to prattle on here because with each moment that I can visit with Luke and you, it's a moment that I don't have to be reminded that my home is currently being invaded and that the sound of crickets is only going to get louder. And I don't mean the kind that greet jokes like what I just told. I mean the real kind. This time every year, they start to get the idea that maybe this is where they want to be come fall. And so many of them end up going for a swim down to our septic tank. But you know, prior to that is the chirping that comes from either behind a piece of furniture, or sometimes you can't get at the little buggers because they're in we have floor vents for the heating, and they're in the ducts right below the floor, and you can hear their melodious tones.
Great. Don't think I've experienced any of them coming inside yet, but I definitely have crickets out there. I sleep with the windows open and everything, so we air out the house pretty regularly, sleeping with the windows open all summer long for the most part. And the crickets are very, very noisy in our neighborhood still, and therefore I hear them every night, every morning. I'm a pretty early riser, so there's still crickets going on when I wake up. And when they start to get inside, then I might get a little bit more upset rather than just hearing them from out the window.
Yeah, I think that it's happened to us enough now that if we actually do hear one in the middle of the night, you know, that's maybe made it to, you know, the living room or something, we can sleep through it because, again, it's part of the environment. But boy, the first couple of times, you know, as a homeowner, when you realize there's a critter in there and it's extra loud compared to the crickets outside, it'll definitely get your attention. It's not the worst problem in the world to have. We've had other years where they're not ladybugs. What are they? Little Asian beetles or something, but they look like ladybugs, where we've had years where many of them have tried to, you know, come in to the house. So it's just part of living out in the rural parts of the woods. It's not like living in town where you're dealing with, you know, whether it's rats or squirrels in cities. Holy cow. I remember visiting my daughter once when she was going to the University of Minnesota, and I walked past a garbage can on the curb, and this squirrel just jumped out. It was just like, you know, I was getting too close to the garbage can for the squirrel thought I was coming after his dinner. And that's not something I'd care to have a fight with. I'll watch that on Christmas vacation when the squirrel comes out of the tree, but I don't care to live that.
Are you sure it wasn't a gopher? It could have been a gopher.
It was not a gopher. It wasn't golden, and it didn't have that ridiculous little maroon and gold, you know, shirt that it wears. It's actually the only thing that works against when we have Kristen Lyerly on every week is, you know, that we have to hear about, you know, gophers in not the good way. We mentioned polling right before the break, and you actually found the latest polling, which, again, I'm going to give my usual disclaimer. We do not get caught up in polls and horse races here. These are a snapshot at a moment, and they are fallible like anything else. But what you've got the details on it now.
Yeah, it's a temperature check at best is what I like to refer to it as. But it was the Trafalgar Group was with the poll we were referencing earlier. I believe that's what you and I were both looking at over the weekend. And I had the margins right. I just didn't know the exact numbers. But now I have the exact numbers in front of me. And the right-leaning pollster, so we're going to preface that as well. But the poll shows it was conducted from August 22nd to the 25th. And it has incumbent Governor Tony Evers at 48% even. And construction businessman Tim Michaels at 47.5%. So only a half a percentage difference between the two of them, with 2.7% undecided and another 1.8% saying they would vote for a different candidate other than Evers or Michaels. And so that was the Trafalgar Group's polling on the gubernatorial race here in Wisconsin. And they also released polling for the senatorial race, showing with 49.4% I was going to say the other Mandela, because that's his Twitter handle and what they got here, but that's Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is polling at that 49.4, with incumbent Senator Ron Johnson at 47.1. So about 2.3, almost 2.5 point difference between the incumbent senator and his challenger, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, with 3.5% still undecided on that one, Pat. So somehow we've got some undecided voters that still haven't made up their mind yet. But I attribute that mostly to, you know, people not quite paying attention, I guess, yet. It's still Labor Day, and you got that old adage that people don't start paying attention to politics until after the Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, there's plenty that don't. But I have to admit, I'm not familiar with this poll, and I'm a little leery only because in Pennsylvania last week, the Republican candidate, Doug Mastriano, was sharing a new poll that actually showed him doing much better than, you know, previously. And so he was retweeting the poll, and then other people were retweeting the poll, and he claimed it showed momentum. And then it was later learned the poll was a fake that a high school student had created and sent in, and you know, Mastriano, you know, put it out there without any vetting whatsoever. So this is the social media world that we live in.
It's got that,
check everything.
That big mo though. It's the momentum. I think the Trafalgar Group is a little bit better known than some high schooler kind of making up the numbers, but we do have a candidate in this cycle that just he's ignoring all the polling and he's just going with his feelings, and that's his feelings.
Tim Michaels says he believes in his heart that he's ahead. So, you know, he's got that going for him. Friend of mine puts up this tweet overnight. It's not exactly breaking news at this point, but as I arrive home at 1 a.m. after another canceled flight, the fourth in 2 weeks, and sprinting across the whole airport to catch the last flight home after missing a second connection, let me tell you, air travel is a real bloodbath right now. And it's true. I like flying. I like traveling, but I wouldn't dare right now until the airlines get their act together. But, you know, even though the airlines are to blame for making flying so unpleasant, they're overbooking flights, they're stuffing passengers into tiny seats. But it is noted this morning in an advice column in the Washington Post by Natalie Compton, Nathan Diller, and Hannah Sampson, that it is also on travelers not to make a bad situation worse. Now, we're not ever going to go back to the time when flying was a glamorous affair, that you only traveled in, you know, suits and dresses, and there was, you know, formal dining, roast beef was carved, you know, in the aisle at your seat. That's not coming back. But that doesn't mean that the experience has to be entirely cattle car like. And so they offer up a refresher on in-flight etiquette. And I wish to share this because, again, I do travel a lot, and I feel this needs to be told a little bit more often than it is. And so I've got this megaphone, and I hope that on behalf of everybody else out there saying amen, that we can get fewer people making jerks of themselves. So look, first off, don't be part of the mob. So they write, you're sitting at the gate doing your best to exist in peace. But for some people, it doesn't matter what time boarding begins. They're going to descend on the boarding zone like a pack of hyenas encroaching on a fresh carcass. Don't be part of a civilized member of society. Wait till your boarding group is called. It's great to be early for your flight and ready to go, but you know, you're not going to get on the plane any sooner by being part of a mob. So don't do it. Once you're shuffling down the aisle, do remember that your fellow travelers have tender skulls, just like you, and don't bonk them with your luggage. I am always amazed at people that are that discourteous. Another real pet peeve of mine is somebody that gets to their seat and then just stands there in the aisle, taking their own sweet time, putting something up above or putting something down below. When, you know, you can do that once everybody is on, but before you take off, but, you know, everybody wants to, you know, wants to just treat it like it's their car, and the rest of you are not. And it's next piece of advice, keep your shoes on. You know, yeah, flying can be uncomfortable sometimes, but do we really need people walking barefoot through the airplanes? It's disgusting. If nobody's told you that, and by the way, notes here,
that's gross.
For the love of God, don't go barefoot to the lavatory on the plane. I'm sorry. I know some of you might be having a late breakfast or an early lunch, but it happens, and somebody's got to say something. So we're going to do it. We're saying it right here. Don't do that. Think before you recline. I mean, it has literally driven people to violence on airplanes. It is true, they write, that you paid for your seat and should be able to use it as you'd like, but there is some etiquette in not flinging your seat back 2 inches without making sure that the person behind you isn't either going to get, you know, a drink splashed on them, or, you know, there's a kid behind them, or whatever the case may be. If you're packing food to bring with you, maybe don't bring the egg salad. You know, there's something you should maybe have at the airport restaurant before you get on the plane. And again, this happens. I'll love on a car trip, I like a bag of Funyuns. I'm not going to bring a bag of Funyuns on an airplane. And yet, that's what it's going to do. It says, let others mask in peace. And that is a relatively new one. But I really want to throw out an amen on that one, because, again, there's a lot of pushback to people wearing masks from a certain contingent that says that that's all wokeness and that's all just a matter of woke behavior. And remember, one of the base mottos of this show is woke just means, forgive the language, don't be an ass. That's it. That's all woke means, folks. And so let somebody have their mask on. It means nothing to you. Maybe you disagree with them, but you don't need to say anything. You just don't. You just don't. And finally, we end as we began, with the mob. Wait your turn to get off the plane. And waiting your turn is something we learned in kindergarten. And yet on not every flight, but on lots of flights, there are people that just feel like they are some kind of a running back, or more likely the tackle for a running back, just trying to, you know, move people out and create a hole. And there's no reason for this, folks. There's just not. Again, it's not the plane's not on fire. You know, there, and even if it is, by the way, getting off orderly is going to keep more people alive than being a mob. I get that, you know, connecting flights, and the airlines are doing a terrible job of helping people, you know, make their connecting flights with all of the increased delays. But you're not the only one on any given flight with a connection to make. So I hope that these few moments provided a little public service to everybody, because God knows we need it. We're very lucky here in Wisconsin that we have a couple of smaller airports where you can begin flying. I have flown out of Eau Claire, out of Madison, out of Wausau, and out of Milwaukee, which is also, you know, compared to like O'Hare and Twin Cities, you know, relatively small. I love those because, again, the TSA lines sometimes are non-existent, and then you're done. You know, you get to Chicago, the cities, wherever, and it's easy to transfer from there. So we really need to count our blessings that we can do that where possible. But otherwise, it's a circus out there, folks, but there's no reason for you to be one of the monkeys. We will wrap up our visit here coming up after this break. Just this reminder that if you want to get our newsletter every day, go to upnorthnewswi.com, click on newsletter in the top banner, or search for our social media posts on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter by searching for Up North News WI. We'll be back.